Recording.
Try the internet and just put the outlook on. The one will have the US.
We're recording.
Okay, we'll take roll call, begin the meeting.
Murphy? Buffo? Payne?
Here.
Morris?
Here.
Perry?
Here.
Stuber?
Here.
Truelock?
Here.
Still not getting it.
All right, stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And we welcome you to remain standing as we pray to open our meeting. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to serve the village of Tolono, the people of Tolono. We do not take that lightly. And Father, as we hear their comments today and as we go through the business of tonight, we just ask you to be with us. We ask you to speak to us. And Father, we ask you to open our ears and open our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, we'll start off with public comments. Danny Gray. Grady.
It's been a long day for you. The subject that I'm here for today is the vicious dog section of the nuisance ordinance. I have questions. My neighbor's dog has been attacked by the neighbor next door to them three times. It won't be attacked anymore, very thankfully, because it was killed the last time. It leaves me with questions. I only found out about it during the last attack because it happened as I was getting ready to leave for work in the morning. And in a fairly generous rain, this animal required two full-grown people to subdue it in a parking lot. Y'all don't know that much about me, but I have a small 17-year-old dachshund that I walk in my backyard. I have a 6-year-old grandson that plays in my backyard. I need to know that he is at least safe as can be provided. I called, as soon as that happened, I called and notified law enforcement. And then I did what I do, and I contacted the village and found out what the ordinances are and what we can do to go further beyond just incident. You know, the police are great at handling an incident, but that's about as much as they can do. I didn't get a whole lot of answers. I emailed the Rob, and he simply told me that we do have an ordinance, it's been referred. Okay. So that the chief was handling it. I said, okay, thank you. Does notifying the police, is that the same as filing a complaint under the ordinance? I got no answer. We all know that when I don't get an answer, I come here and ask y'all. Is that the same? And where do I go from here?
This is the first I've heard about it. When did it happen? You said?
Me too.
10 days ago. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about?
Yes. Officer Livingston handled that, and we took the report went to Animal Control. Animal Control is taking it over to look to see to determine it to be a dangerous dog. So they do their investigation. Once they get their investigation, they'll determine whether it's a dangerous dog or not. And they will send certain things to the party involved, and they have to follow certain rules and regulations, and I'm not sure what those are for the dangerous dog part, but that's a county rule, state law.
So as a complainant, how do I follow up? How do I find out what's going on?
Well, right now it's under the Animal Control's jurisdiction, but I assume you can call them. I don't know if they will give out any information on ongoing investigation.
Okay. How do we go about enforcement under the ordinance, or is that all subject to animal control?
It's all subject to animal control.
Okay. Because after reading the ordinance, I was left pretty empty. It just referred to a lot of state statutes and stuff that's hard for me to find.
Right. Most of that, the dangerous dogs is definitions, which is the state law. State law is definition of dangerous dog.
Okay.
Okay. And what we do is if they are ALs and things like this, we can do a fine. And if it keeps running loose, we can increase the fine. I think it goes from 100 to...
So does it have to be running loose to be a problem? Because when this animal next door was attacked, there was a roughly 200-pound man attached to the leash wrapped around his wrist, mm-hmm. and the dog was dragging him across the parking lot to get to the other animal. Mm-hmm. At what point is the animal considered to be restrained versus loose?
Well, our law says that it pretty much states that if the owner has the dog on a leash, and then it's not running at large. What okay. occurred in that incident, from what I know, and I'm just saying
right,
the
yeah.
investigation is completed, is that the dog got loose from the other owner, was not on a leash, and went and ran to the dog,
okay.
which caused it to have a physical confrontation between the two dogs.
Fair enough. Like I said, all I know is what I saw.
Right.
And at that point.
We had a video of that, and it was the other dog's. I don't
want to
say false.
Okay. Yeah.
But
I'm. Like I said, I'm really just here to find out where we go from here because I just want to be able to use my backyard without, yeah. you know, without fearing my neighbor's animal.
If there's a dangerous dog or something like that, you can file a complaint yourself to animal control, and they are okay. required by law to investigate that. You can do it. I notify law enforcement, which is what you did.
Right.
We took the report went over to the animal control, and I was over there at the house today. She's got the letter today that there's an investigation on the other dog that she has. And for this first one or second one. And that's where we are for the moment.
Okay.
So it is being dealt with, it's unfortunate.
Yeah, I understand. And if this animal does get loose and come in and does come into my yard, what are my rights as far as dealing with the animal? Can I dispatch it?
Well, it depends on how you can't use a gun, obviously, in the village.
Even if it's attacking me or my animal?
Well, you're going to risk it if you don't hit the dog and you miss the dog and hit your dog or somebody else.
Okay.
You know, you could be liable. Right? Let me just put it that way.
I understand.
Okay.
Yep.
You have the right to defend your property, your dog,
okay.
and your kids. Okay. But you need to be very careful with how you do it.
Okay. Appreciate it. I guess I shouldn't have wasted the board's time. I should have gone that direction to begin with.
Oh, you're fine.
But thank you very much for your patience.
Yep.
Any more public comments? All right, we'll go to engineering reports.
Good evening, everybody. I think there were three or four things on there. The first one's really just kind of updating you on where we're at in the water main project. We've kind of went over a review cycle with Matt, and at this point we're working towards final plans for permitting and bidding. I would speculate that within 2 weeks we'll be ready to go out to permit and could probably be ready to bid by the end of the month. Basically, timeline-wise and all that, you could potentially start construction if we bid at the end of February, early March, middle of April. Would be the quickest, probably more like a May start would be my guess for construction. That's about as far as that project goes, unless you guys have any questions about it. No questions. The other stuff is really just since we've transitioned to Donahue. Basically, before we were just operating when we were C2, essentially just under a general. There was no agreement, pretty much. We just did general service. So if Matt called and needed some help with something, we would do it and bill you guys hourly for it. Basically, what Donahue has is they've got what they call a continuing services agreement, where it's just general terms, we've got terms and conditions in here that basically try to have a contract in place, so if something ever did come up, we would be able to refer back to something to try to weed through that. And basically, that's just, essentially, it's just set up that you guys agree to terms, and then if you call us and ask us to do something, we do it. There's an agreement in place. Typically, what we thought was, and this is, so with the continued services agreement, we would issue task orders. So if Matt called and said, hey, I need you to come and figure out something over here, or help me out with this thing, and we think it's going to take more than 20 hours, then we'll tell him that and put together an estimate and a task order for it, where it'll be a little bit more specific and just talk about, that's the CSA, and then this is the task order. The task order will be a little bit more specific, and it'll say, you know, this is what we're doing, why we're doing it, and what we think it's going to cost. And then basically that task order would have to be authorized by the mayor. Task order one, essentially just kind of the, anything up to 20 hours can be authorized via email, so that there's a document trail of it. And basically that would just be, I mean, if Matt needed 2 hours from us to come do some survey stuff or something, to pick up some manholes, you know, that would be, things like that would be covered under that. Or I think last year we did a little bit of ADA design at your village hall, you know, and I think that was maybe 6 to 8 hours. I don't remember exactly, but basically that's what this is. And feel free to take that to look at it, Mark, more thoroughly.
Actually, pretty familiar with it.
Okay, are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
My recommendation is that he can go back and tell them that the lawyer grabbed about a few things, and then they'll come back and make adjustments. But there's a provision in here that limits their liability to $250,000 if they make a boo-boo. Their insurance carrier is trying to get them to put that in there. I think that the compromise, I think, is you can go to $2 million. There's some compromise language that your higher-ups will end up chirping us. They've got that's the primary one. That's the primary one. This is actually a little bit better than it was 2 or 3 years ago. That was the last time I looked at it.
Yeah.
But all the engineers are trying to do that, and from the village standpoint, I don't think that would be that's not part of what you're paying for. So you expect them to have some liability insurance that would cover things, and it's going to be more than $250,000.
Yeah, and it just, on some of this stuff,
it other just than that, the whole concept makes a lot of sense. All it means is you've got an ongoing contract, so that way if you hire them to do something, you're hiring them at their prevailing rate or whatever they quote you under these terms. That's the concept behind it. And that's pretty standard procedure.
Yeah, and like I said, take a look at it, do whatever you need to do, make comments. If you want to shoot me an email on that, I can shoot that back.
Give me your card, you know.
Any questions from the board?
Do you have a sheet of your standard rates?
I do have that. I can get to you. And that basically annually that's adjusted.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, what do we need to do to keep up with inflation typically? Usually you're not going to see, especially in like a company the size of Donahue, like with us at C2, things fluctuate a little bit more because there's only a few of us. With them, it's a little bit more stable. So if you see increases, it's usually very minor. And it's not necessarily all billing classes on that. So.
Sure.
But yeah, we can get that for you.
Thank you.
Anything else? You good?
Good. Thanks, Tim.
All right. Appreciate it, guys.
Public Works, Matt.
Would you like to move ahead to planning and zoning?
Sure.
Figure out ordinances there.
Okay.
Give a little further data?
Sure. This is just a copy of what I gave Mark, just that the board wants to look at it.
I have Mark Lang and zoning members here as well, same thing.
Okay.
Yeah, it's ours.
Matt, I'm here.
Sorry, there's microphones, so.
Okay, no problem.
Matt asked me here this evening to answer any kind of questions you might have. Understand you might be going through a planning and zoning ordinance rewrite and possibly a subdivision rewrite. You mentioned a subdivision. We had just finished that process for the road to Philo, and Matt's part of that planning commission over in Philo, and he was happy with the work we did. He just thought that you guys might be interested in doing the same thing here. We basically took the ordinance. Stephanie facilitated some meetings. We looked at different community ordinances and got together with the plan commission, and they picked and choose what they liked, and then and Stephanie did a great job in putting it in charts and forms in a very nice readable format. So that's what we're basically here to talk about. If you'd like to have any questions on what our procedures were, how we got along, I'd be glad to answer anything.
I think this process, since Philo has kind of moved forward, this would really shorten our time with planning and zoning to, you know, kind of compile everything. It's just kind of a cleanup and kind of add and subtract a few things is what we would kind of do with that. Our ordinances definitely need looked at badly here. And I know Rob has talked about doing codification here as well, so.
And that's what we did basically with Philo, is we took and we looked at and made it, codified that, updated it, and then massaged the information and put it in some nice readable charts. That group then talked about some ongoing issues, and that might be as much as dangerous animal type of ordinances, those kind of things that were actually in there also, some nuisance and so forth and so on. But it would pull it all together, give the board a chance to really review it. And Philo, for example, had some issues going on that they kept on granting variances. Every time somebody come in, they'd ask for a variance. So they kind of took care of those issues as they went. I'm not sure if Tolono has any ongoing, every time somebody comes in, they always ask for a sidewalk waiver or whatever it is, a setback variance or a height variance, or maybe there is no height variance. Maybe you want a height variance, or not a variance, I should say, but a height restriction, or talked about OF, open space ratios and floor area ratios and those kind of things. Just some things that didn't want to get too deep into the weeds, but didn't want to get a book this thick, which you can if you've seen Champagne's or Urbanus, but it's a nice complication of that.
I'd say setbacks are one of our number one.
Is that typically what happens?
Yep. Yeah.
It's because it's an older town.
Yeah.
You got some areas, they didn't really look at the setbacks then, they kind of built them where they wanted to, but now you've got people coming in. Do you make them go back to a 25 or 30 foot setback when everybody else is up at 20 or 15 even? And we talked about fences and pools and...
Yeah, I'd make a clarification that I think that the zoning ordinance is completely separate from the codification process. Two completely different sets of rules, and you wouldn't have any nuisance stuff, or not very much, in the zoning ordinance. You're tempted just to say, hey, Philo's looks like that's brand new, so it ought to work just fine for us. And that's partially true, but I think you do want to go through some process where you're identifying the things that Dave was just talking about, things that are particular problems that seem to keep cropping up, and then try to address that. So you could definitely take advantage of Philo's work product, but adapt it to Tolono. And you can do that on your own, theoretically. I think what you're hearing is their engineering firm has a planner who just assisted Philo, and that's part of her expertise is to help you figure out what those nuances are and make the adjustments. Probably a legitimate question for these folks is, what's it going to cost?
Sure. Steph, about what the cost was for the village?
Sure. Philo's was, ended up costing them about $6,000 beginning to end. Am I speaking loud enough?
Yes.
I know I have a loud voice. I just want to verify. It was about $6,000, and that's because we started out with a simple, I say simple, but the codification of their ordinances that were scanned copies of someone who had typed it out on a typewriter, and then notes written in there. I looked on your website today, too. Just going to throw that out there. And then someone had written notes like, see, cross this section out, see amendment such and such from this date, yeah. And you flip to the back. And so it was, my first task was to get it all in something that could be editable, mm-hmm. And to get those amendments actually into the ordinance so it read as one single ordinance, not an ordinance from the 70s with 20 amendments on the back with attachments. So that was step one. And then when we got through all of that, we realized that, hey, maybe there were some updates we should do. As I was reading the language, I was like, this isn't really applicable anymore. You know, we started hearing about problems from the commissioners who were saying we get this type of variance all the time. We're tired of granting this variance. Is there a way staff can do it in-house, or can we write the ordinance where it'll allow for up to 10% lenience if it meets, you know, if it's similar to the other front setbacks on the block? You know, that type of language are things we wrote in there. I added some graphics so that you could explain what a vision triangle was.
Nice.
You know, things that you can read it and you can maybe, a lawyer will not let it be interpreted three different ways, but, you know, maybe someone interpreting themselves could interpret it. You know, it's a very clear visual. And then we also helped update all of their permits as part of that process. Everything's online. It's now searchable. You can click the document and type front yard setback, and it'll zip right to that section of the document, which is a lovely feature for anybody who's trying to search for something in an ordinance. But also made sure that their permits met all the latest language so that their inspectors and those out in the field were able to properly do their job. Took about a year to go, but I will say I took a 3-month hiatus to have a baby in that year, so that pushed it back a little bit. We're done having kids, so you have to worry about that in that type process. But yeah, it was about a year-long process. We met once a month and tackled a different section of the ordinance every month, so that people had time to digest and really think about it, especially as new zoning ordinance cases came up and new planning commission cases came up. They were able to kind of think, how does the new ordinance apply? How can we work that into how we want the new ordinance to operate for us?
Yeah, and I would point out that the lion's share of the work gets done by the Planning Commission. The board's expected to read on this and eventually vote on it, and you can get as involved as you want, but the lion's share is really going to be the Planning Commission going through all these monthly meetings and getting it done. With codification, you're doing that part.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference between the two processes. So even though you kind of have two things that might be going on at the same time, your focus is going to be on the codification more so than the zoning, I think.
Another thing that was covered as well was building permit fees. Clean that up. There's no different ways to interpret things. It's, this is what this is, and that's it. So it makes it easier on the building guy and kind of keeps everything a little more focused. So.
I think also with being some newer members to the Planning and Zoning Board like myself, I know Josie hasn't been on one before, I think it would be a good help to us as far as understanding the ordinances a little better and all the zoning and getting stuff narrowed down where there's a broad scope where it can be narrowed down where it's easier for the general public to understand.
Yes.
It as well. because some the way some of this language is, it's very it's hard to understand. I think it would be a good advantage to our planning and zoning board to have them come on board and fill out.
Hey Matt, has Rob been involved with talking to him at all yet, or
not yet?
Not yet. Okay.
About subdivision, and it's a separate thing. Subdivisions, are they all included in that too, or if someone wants to build in a subdivision, they know the ordinances in that particular subdivision?
That was covered as well. We kind of cleaned up our subdivision ordinance as well, so.
But in different subdivisions, you have different, you know, different ordinances.
Some of them are sort of covenants.
Right, covenants, yes, yes. I don't know if you covered that. In the book, someone wants to go to Minnesota or whatever and build something, they know what all the covenants are and everything like that.
That was not covered in the book. The subdivision regulations, we looked at and updated standards, sidewalk widths, pavement thicknesses, material types. You're talking about subdivision covenants.
Right, yeah.
Covenants are basically above and beyond the village standards. If the standard is a 25-foot setback and Deer Path wanted to go with a 30-foot setback, they could specify we want a 30-foot setback in our subdivision. So each of the subdivisions, basically, it's recorded underneath your deed and it points back to the covenants. Okay. So it'd be difficult for, it wouldn't be too difficult to have a list of them in the office, but it'd be difficult to ongoing revise the book.
You can't change those covenants without the entire subdivision
right, yeah.
Change.
Yeah, the covenants can change at the it's called a homeowners association. Excuse me. There we go. So the homeowners association can change the covenants if they wanted to, or they could relax a setback if they wanted to. They couldn't relax it any further than what the village standard is, though.
Right.
So they could relax a 30-foot down to a 28 or a 27, but they couldn't get past the 25 if the 25-foot setback was village standard.
I think it's definitely a good idea, especially like Wade said, with the board being so new.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll give you guys a good chance to really get in and read all the ordinances word by word. I'm pretty sure we can find the cash to come up with that.
Yeah. Is this something we'd like to vote on tonight, or
we can't.
It's down here, isn't it, in new business?
Well, is that what that is? Hiring land surveyor to help planning and zoning board? Is that what that is?
Which was not a very good description, but I think that's what
they Well, okay. I think that's also part of what you're being considered to be hired for, too, is
okay.
On occasion, the superintendents needing some, or What job title am I giving you when you're hiring an engineer?
Director of Public Works.
The Director of Public Works
when you're looking
will occasionally
for
need somebody who
interpretation
can do
of the zoning.
Engineering, who okay. can do surveying work or yeah. help measure something or help get something figured out. So
okay.
I think part of the concept is that you'd be available to do that since you're pretty good at it.
Yeah, that's good. I'm a licensed surveyor and a licensed engineer. So
that also covered like if we... A lot of times we had a subdivision come in, plans and everything, some to look over drainage issues and storm sewer and sanitary sewer connections and make sure everything, they're, you know, the right size, everything's sized right and all that stuff.
Possibly. We have an existing engineer
yeah.
that's doing a lot
okay.
of the water stuff, so I don't think the vision isn't for you to get into that, but it would be to get into land measurement kinds of things.
But those kinds of things would be in the zoning ordinances, correct?
It would be in the subdivision ordinance, and he would be really familiar with
correct.
It.
And correct. Then, so that would give you what you would need.
Well, a lot of times when a subdivision comes in and they got a site plan,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we need someone to look it over and say, hey, you know, these elevations, all our water, you know, sanitary will, sanitary will handle it.
Just another set of eyes.
Well, I mean, we just need someone, an engineer to look at it, just
right.
That knows, hey, yeah, the sanitary is sized right, the storm sewer is sized right, it's going to where it's supposed to go, and things like that.
That is something that I can have do and can do if it's if that's what is needed or would like to have, I guess.
And that's something between you or even our, not Donahue now. There's somebody can be able to take care of that, yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think you're limited. I mean, I don't know how good it is to have lots of different engineers in a village, but having more than one is common. Mm-hmm. And you can mix it up between them as you want to, so you're not trapped in using one particular firm if you don't want to. So, but
is the zoning? Are you guys? You guys talked about this already, and you're willing to get on this job and finish it out? Okay.
I've been saying that for 2 years.
I mean, yep. I'm more like. And you can't read it and understand everything it's saying.
It's contradictory.
I saw.
There's a lot of interpretations in it. So.
And I mean, it was. I mean, Rob acknowledged that it needed an update too, so he knew that it was.
Oh yeah, we've known it needed it. We were working on the other ordinance at first because that one's going to be a headache.
They have their own kind of in-house contract that they want to propose, so I don't think you have to vote tonight. If you seem like you're supportive of it, they can put together a couple of different contracts that address both ideas, and then that would be in front of you at the next meeting.
I think it's a good idea.
And they can kind of review what FILO has in place, kind of go through that, at least get that started, and kind of, yes, we like this, no, we don't like this, and kind of move forward that way. Kind of have a game plan kind of down the road here. So
one question. Would you cover, I don't know the proper terms, but we have Savoy solely encroaching farther and farther south. Is that something you guys could put together too, that we could kind of head that off to make sure Tolono doesn't become part of Savoy?
I think this man here would do an intergovernmental agreement and draw the line in the sand, if you will.
No, you wouldn't. Unfortunately, I represent Savoy as well.
I'm sorry.
I've explained to the mayor that I think you guys will eventually have some talks and try to figure something out. But at the point in time where you're really going to do something, I'll make sure you've got good legal counsel, and then Savoy would have separate legal counsel, and I wouldn't be part of any of it.
Yeah, so that's the mile and a half jurisdictional limits you're talking about. When they start to cross and encroach, then they might have an intergovernmental agreement. And say that we won't go past a certain street, whatever.
Okay. Yeah, you can define on a map what your boundary would be, get agreement on it, and then you sign a little agreement that just promises to abide by that, and that works really.
Okay. And it could be something as simple as who can serve them by sewer, who can serve them by water, what's the natural breaks possibly. There's different.
Okay. Yeah, I just know we've talked about that for years, and it hasn't moved very much. So, it's something we need to look into, anyways. So.
Okay. I actually did the design for Deer Path back with Frank Kittingham, and then Jeff Walper took it over. Anyway, there's a TIF district that goes way up 45 considerably, and you're zoning, or not your zoning, excuse me, your city limits kind of fingers way up there, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's actually, it's area garbage that it's disposal, and that area right in there is part of our city limits.
Okay.
Well, area is not, but everything around it is.
Yeah, it zigzags and everything through there. So.
Right, right. Okay. Okay. Well, we'll bring back next month our standard agreement.
They need every 2 weeks.
2 weeks? Okay.
Or twice a month.
First and third.
Okay. Is it early enough to get on that agenda to bring it for you? Perfect.
The zoning and planning board, we're having a regular meeting on the 12th. Would it be okay if they came, where we could ask them questions, and you guys can kind of go over the process of how everything works through that 9 months to a year?
I think that's fine. I'll check my calendar. We've got 2 weeks from today. Or when is the planning?
The 12th.
Next Tuesday.
Oh, this coming Tuesday. Okay.
What time you guys meet?
5:30.
This building?
Yes.
All right.
Okay,
thank you.
Questions?
I think we'll go ahead and go with John. I've seen you guys back there.
I think John gave you a proposal for a new contract. That contract's up when?
We were just curious what you...
What the status of it was.
Did they bring that to the last meeting?
It's in board pocket.
I'm sorry, I've been out the last two meetings sick, and then Rob wasn't here tonight, so I don't know if I can answer that personally. Do you know anything?
They gave it to Mark.
Yeah, okay. We've got a copy of it.
Mark's got the copy.
I think that it's just a matter of you... It's the same contract that they had before. But it's a matter of you being comfortable with the costs. I'd suggest to put it on the agenda for your next meeting, and then we'll make sure that a short summary of it goes out to you, along with a copy as a PDF, just so you have it. We'll look at the details, and then you can consider it at your next meeting.
Okay. Does that work for you?
That's fine. If there's any questions, give us a call.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Same thing
with
that.
Thanks,
John.
Do you want to do it? I saw you sign it.
I'll actually sign it, even though I have to sign it one or two. I have to sign paper.
Matt, did you have anything else, or are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's kind of in the new business area. I don't know if you want to kind of continue on.
Yeah, it's part of your business, so we'll go ahead.
I got a question for you.
What's the matter?
Later.
No, I was the first one.
So where would we put the 6,000? What's that going to come out of?
Brandy will tell us next meeting.
Okay.
Or something. Or community. Couldn't we take it out of community?
I think we could kind of speed this up more. I don't think the price would be, if they do it.
I'm just thinking of a financial
aspect.
Yeah,
but we've seen our zoning ordinances.
I would love to do it. I just want to make sure we have the funding and that we've been spending a lot of money.
And kind of what Philo did was we just kind of scrapped everything we had and started over.
Mm-hmm.
So that might kind of be...
I'd love to do a lot.
Sometime, yeah. A little bonfire, so. Burn it, and start over.
But I'd like
to do a lot of things, but we've got to have money.
Read our old ordinance, and she gets a real good sense of the town that way, and she'll look at our zoning map. She's pretty sharp.
Yes, definitely.
And she would... she would then pick up some nuances that we wouldn't otherwise, might not otherwise think of, to put into Philo's version of it. So I think that's kind of a good approach for you guys.
And I don't know that they have everything on Philo's website.
Got
but
Philo's, which you could just adopt as it sits. But you're a different town, so right. For her to look at kind of using Philo as a starting place, since it's kind of new and updated, and it's something in the area that isn't too dissimilar from probably where you end up. She can go through that old part, see what kinds of wrinkles
you.
We got that make us different.
Just the way you said it was like
yeah, and then incorporate some changes to bylaws and make those recommendations. That helps planning keep moving along quicker, and I think it's cheap money in the big picture.
Yeah.
And she's cheaper than I am, so it's a good way to do it. She did it.
And she went back and found a lot of different things that made it simpler to read, simpler to understand, and when you're
site or something. So. I talked to Campstrip today about the water meters. We're just kind of going through and one of the things that they said, if we were going to go in, if we plan on doing this in the new fiscal year, we may go ahead and give them lead time to do this, mainly because it takes 6 to 8 weeks to receive the FCC license if we go that route over the cell phone. I think the cell phone, it was like a $1,300 a month fee for that, for the cell service for those. So we did have 3 water meters that froze during this cold snap. 2 of those broke. It broke the bottoms out of the meters. 1 I could repair, 1 I couldn't. So with at least the Campstrip water meters, they'll give you an alarm when the temperature gets so low. And I kind of thought, well, that would be all right. No, that would be ideal for what we just had. The library, the water meter froze there. We had to thaw it out. We had one right across the street here busted. And I was out here on Sunday repairing that one. And then a vacant building next to Jack's broke on Saturday. So I was there on Saturday working on that one, trying to get the water out of Jack's basement. So these are all things that could possibly somewhat be avoided if we had that, or at least minimized.
Who owned that building?
Captain Hart.
Just trying to figure out why you were in the basement getting the water out.
We don't have a shutoff outside.
Okay.
If it were at a pit, you know, we could shut it off that way. So we were.
So their meter's in their basement?
Crawl space.
Yes.
Yeah. And we were just in there replacing that meter earlier this year. So there's some different things like that around town that aren't the best of circumstances, so
are you keeping a list of those places so we can maybe eventually look at fixing, as far as like that one not having a shut off.
More mental note than anything.
Okay.
Right now, but yes, I should be getting that stuff down. We're trying to get an idea. Anytime we go read a meter and we have to do a manual read or something like that, just kind of started up this week where we're actually getting the sizes, starting to put that stuff in our system. So that way, hopefully, we'll have a better count here soon. So
that might be an ideal time when we're transitioning over to actually fix some of these.
Right.
At that time.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. The other thing we had was review or approval of purchase of end loader. We've got some of the pricing here. We spoke with the finance person and the salesman 3 weeks ago, and they ran the numbers on the end loader and attachments and financing. I kind of went out, got an additional pricing on the attachments, and found the main 2 attachments we wanted for about $1,000 cheaper. So
do they carry the same warranty?
I believe so. The ones that I looked at online, they had a 2-year warranty. I would think it
but would someone go less than that? Oh. Unless it's the manufacturer warranty.
I wouldn't think, like John Deere, I don't think they would go less than that. Mm-hmm. And that's the attachments we got, because they got a better price, because we could get the government a discount with those attachments. But even with the governmental discount, it was close to $1,000 less than the other manufacturers.
Is that the one that's in the packet?
Yeah, I tried to put everything in there so you could see all the information that I was kind of going by.
Wait, what's in the packet is for a skid steer.
The attachments are the same. Those are just the two attachments.
Attachment okay. On the front of the front end loader.
The end loader quote's actually in last, the 15th. Yes.
That's kind of why I wanted this, because it would make it more versatile for us to use. We could get other attachments down the road that would still, I mean, anything that will go on a skid steer will fit on this machine. So.
The Martin Max
warranty they offer?
Yes.
Will that cover those attachments even though we're not buying them from? Would that warranty apply to the John Deere attachments we buy from them?
That I don't know.
Because that'd be a could be a pretty big savings down the road if it's.
That I don't know. I mean,
I can't imagine they'd cover things they didn't sell you.
No, they wouldn't.
Well, I was meaning, but would that warranty still apply to any attachments we bought? Because I know you got forks in the bucket on your quote.
That I don't see that would.
So it's just the end loader itself.
Dealer installed options not covered by factory warranty, coupler stuff, etc. That would be optional, so that would be in addition to.
Okay. And yeah, I don't see a big deal buying the attachment separate.
With the Martin Max, I kind of got some clarification yesterday. I talked to the salesman, and he was saying if we did not use all of that money that is put out, the $1,700, and we had money left over at the end, that could be banked and either used to a new Martin Max account, or they have a Martin Care, which would cover oil changes, service, but not. Once you're out of warranty, you're kind of out of warranty.
But it's not just gone. It's still there.
Correct.
It can still
be
used.
You don't lose it if you don't use it. So. And we did do that with the mini excavator. So. It's just kind of a more peace of mind thing. Since we don't have a full-time mechanic on staff to make sure everything is 110% of the time, you know, it's nice to have, you know, run it up there. They can run it through the shop, make sure everything's working like it needs to. So
you're still getting the bucket and the pallet forks from
Correct.
John Deere.
Yeah, bucket comes with it.
Yeah,
the pallet forks separate. Are minimal. So, and that's something again we could get a used set if they've got a used set. I don't have a problem with that. So the final total on that. If you've got the amortization rate sheet, that would be less at the end. The yearly payments would be less if we didn't have the attachments by the $10,000 or whatever. So it would be less financed. More out of pocket, I guess. So.
So it's 88,000 just for this tractor and the two attachments.
Bucket, forks, the grapple, and the plow, I believe.
In the, okay.
That's what was confusing me. So, just so I'm clear here, we're looking at buying the skidster? Or
the front end button, front end button.
Okay, and then these attachments work on that? Okay. Sorry, I was just catching myself up.
It's when it's small enough that they, you can use all the skidster attachments, so.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's got the same attachment on the front as any skid motor. So, yeah, any, and it's got the high flow hydraulics on it and the extra hydraulics up front to run any attachment.
Okay, so it's kind of a mini inloader then, somewhat?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, if you go up to Walmart, or Vancouver, Savoy, they've got one.
Okay.
Like that, set up there with a little snow pusher on it, so.
Sorry, I was a little behind on that one.
Very good.
Okay, so what's the dollar figure we're looking at?
That would be 20. I've got that number on me here.
Well, then I can't vote. So for the end loader bucket.
I got 88,000.
Yes, 88,000, but I got the.
I thought I had the
blade.
Monthly or the yearly.
And grappler.
So I thought it was like 22,000 annually. With the first payment
next year
being the backhoe. And then.
Because it's trading.
Right.
So your thought is then we don't need the backhoe since we have the mini excavator.
But if you need a tiny bucket, where do you get one? If you have no backhoe.
The mini excavator.
Yeah.
That they bought.
Yeah, it's you can get up to a foot wide or down to a foot wide.
Yeah, we got a foot, 2 foot.
The only thing we lose with the backhoe is the extra power to dig through to pack the soil, but you shouldn't use that too often.
No.
That was, yeah, most of those mini excavators can pick up what a backhoe can anyway. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I don't have. Around 22,000, but I can't give an exact number because I don't have.
Well, we wouldn't be voting on 22,000. We'd be voting on the full total. And then we'd be figuring out how we'd plan on doing this, whether we're planning on financing it or planning on.
I thought that was the plan, was to finance through John Deere, right?
We would have to.
Why would we have to finance?
That, or we have to lease it, or we have to go through the whole bidding process.
Right. Didn't it have something to do with the amount of money that they were going to give you for the trade-in allowance?
What's that? I'm sorry.
Your trade-in was going to be some like $17,500,
yep.
Which was going to basically be your first payment.
Correct.
Or
correct.
Most of it.
But if we were to bid this, we don't have to accept the bids that come in.
Right.
But if we bid it, there's a chance of having a lower price because you have more people with skin in the game.
What I thought last month when we talked about, last month when we talked about this, that you said usually you don't get much out of a trade-in. But for some reason, it was much higher than what it normally is.
Well, we actually lost money from last year.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the price of the machine went down.
Did That's what it was, the price of the machine.
But the value of the battery went down too, so.
I personally don't think financing it is in the best interest of the village. I can also understand the desire to get as much as we can for the piece we're trading in. Is there a way for us to do both by going through a different avenue for selling the backhoe? How much are they giving you? How much are they willing to give us for the backhoe if we?
17.5.
And what they're saying is, with the farm market down right now, the market for backhoes like that is down. Because that's kind of the market for a machine this age. It's not. A contractor's not going to come buy this machine to go out and use every day.
Sure.
It's going to be something the farmer's going to go and use, you know, a handful of times.
An as-needed piece of equipment.
So with the grain prices, you know, the uncertainty right now, that's kind of where that market value is at. So. We're kind of, we're right now, we're trying to get the cheap fog sold. So, I mean, so throwing another piece of equipment, I don't know how well that would work out. So,
I think they're kind of giving us a break on the backhoe, more than what we'd probably get just about anywhere else, and we're keeping it somewhat local.
Right.
And that's kind of a nice thing. I mean, they're a mile up the road. I mean, that's the biggest thing for me. Buying parts, I run up there and get it. It's not, you know, to Champagne.
If you need service.
Or, yeah, I mean, it's...
So what was the difference between purchase and leasing?
I don't really think there was much difference because the...
4.75%?
Yeah.
No, I mean, if we're going to make payments on a loan and then we're going to lease it, I mean, what's the comparison there?
It's a 5-year lease with a dollar buyout, right?
Right. Right. So the starting number is going to be the same no matter what.
Right. But I'm just saying, I don't know. I don't know what that is, but I don't know if that was. I know you mentioned looking into it or whatever. Because, I mean, that way you don't have to do repairs on leases, correct? Or is there.
This is a lease to own, so it would still be. Unless we, you know, completely break something that's our fault, everything would be covered under warranty, under the Martin Max, and we're good. Nothing else out of pocket.
This is the which one?
This is the lease with a dollar buyout at the end after 5 years. First payment would be the $17,500 for the backhoe.
Correct.
And then the first actual payment would be the following year, and then that year, that year, that year, that year.
Here's the.
So $20,248. So that would be the payment, and then the $1 buyout at the end. So.
Okay.
So I guess I do have the total. I think that's just their interest charges through the month. So.
Now, does this total up here include all of these attachments from
got
them,
that
or
at
just the two?
106, 161 is what I have that as, including the Martin Max, the 5 years of that.
Okay.
And the 9,000 something for attachments.
You took the 105, 520, and then added the Martin Max?
No, I took the 88, since we're trading off the skid steer. I took that 17 off right away.
Right.
So that's your plan,
on here, what he's got over there, it's got 105, 520, and then it starts taking off the 17.
That's what I was getting at, because since I wasn't with this mother, but no, I would prefer to lease it,
back in.
Because then we don't have to worry about
repairs. Yeah, right.
That makes sense. Okay,
so
thank you.
It is the $20,248.68 annually, but if we take the attachments out, buy those from the other company, that price, that number would go down. So
presuming the price doesn't go up because we're not buying as much from them.
Because we're not purchasing them.
That, no, that won't.
Because I'm almost positive when you came to us last month, you were saying this is how much it is without attachments, right?
I don't think so.
Because you wanted to price out more attachments just to see.
I don't remember.
The only thing shown on the quote is the pallet forks.
Is that all it was?
In the, okay. In the bucket, yeah, because you said you weren't going to, you didn't like the prices on.
What was it?
The 1.6 cubic yard bucket and the pallet forks. So yes. So that number would be correct.
Okay.
Plus the 9961. For the, if we went with the skid row, 9661. And you added the Martin Max in at 1700 times 5.
I'm sorry.
I know.
But again, between the two, the price with the John Deere snow blade, it was a 9-foot blade, the other was a 10-foot, so it was like 468 difference, I think, in price. But I got to have the wider blade. And then the that brush grapple, that was almost $1,000 or $1,200 less. So and I think we'd do a lot less damage picking up brush with that than what we do currently with that 4-in-1 bucket. So yeah, about $1,450 difference on that grapple. So the difference is $989 between the two quotes.
And this will be it for equipment fees, right? Nothing new.
No, we should say yes.
We need confident answers, man.
We need
as long as nothing breaks,
right,
and blows right up or burns up.
In his defense, in the 8 years I've been on here, I don't know if we've, besides a truck, I don't think we've purchased any equipment. A lawnmower, that's all I can remember.
Right, it's been
sleep blower or catcher or whatever.
Yeah,
that's called.
Hot patch machine, cold patch machine.
But as far as replacing anything that we already have,
right. And this is something this is,
you do, you need it.
The
it's
machine
time.
We use, you know, almost daily. So I mean, this is something we are out and about with it a lot. So I was going to put a truck in for next year.
Stop it.
No.
But equipment-wise, we're getting back into better shape. If we get this, I think we'll be a lot better then. So.
How old is the backhoe?
Okay.
14, 15 years old.
It's an 04, isn't it?
Somewhere in there.
With little maintenance on it. So.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll get an easy 15 years out of it's two pieces of equipment. So.
Yeah. Or if we get on a replacement plan, the equipment's worth more when you get rid of it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you get more to trade in, less for the next one. So that's my plan, try and get, you know, a certain set year replacement plan on equipment. And that way we don't have issues kind of like what we've got now. So.
Can we definitely be behind that?
Yeah.
Can we vote on the attachments now, since they're not on the ordinance, not on the agenda, they're separate?
Probably.
Or can we consider them part of the
in
since they're being purchased from a separate dealer?
Not to exceed.
It just says review approval of purchase of unloaders, so that's you can pretty much do whatever you want with that.
Okay.
Would we be taking this out of this budget or next fiscal year?
It would be 2020.
Okay.
Because this year, or you know, this next fiscal year would be the backhoe trade-in, so there would be no payment this next fiscal year.
Okay.
So then we would budget then $20,000 or $248,000 or whatever that was after that. Any other questions for me on this?
No. Thank you.
Yep. I think that's kind of all I've got right now, so.
Anybody want to make a motion?
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how much. I've got 106, 161 after the trade one.
That's
so
what I have.
Just give him a little extra just in case. 106, I'll make a motion to give Matt the authority to purchase the unloader and attachments he has provided for 106, 500. Not to exceed 106, 500. Just so those shipping surprises pop up.
Can I still second or?
Yeah.
You're not sure how that works.
Yeah, you can.
I'll second it.
Morris?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
Payne?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
Trulock?
Yes.
Okay, your turn, Rick.
I don't know what you're on.
Well, the weather has kind of helped us.
amateur
so
we
don't have too much going on out there
at
right
this
now.
Group tax rate.
The last time when I talked to you about our police software going to the web,
how much
we are now have just downloaded some of the material that they needed to do
the
demo and testing, which we're hoping to do this week and hopefully by the end of the month
after
be
that
on the web.
That's included. The amortization should be included in that payment.
It looks promising.
Okay.
It looks like it's going to be easy. And the reason why I like it the most right now is that we don't have to mess with downloading or uploading to the server anymore. It automatically does it when you enter it.
Yes, well, yes.
And also, will help prevent duplicate entries of people and locations. Because sometimes when we go in and we try to find out who's at a location, we've got three people in the same place that we know don't live there anymore. You know, so we got to go delete those and put in the one that whoever it is that actually lives there to update our program. We do have a lot of issues with that because when we do the downloads, it looks like this. If we go out and we find out that there's an address that's not showing on our laptop, but then it may still be in here, it just hasn't been downloaded to the laptop. So when he puts in the address, now I've got two with different names at the same address. So by eliminating the download process, that eliminates the duplication because it automatically puts the new stuff in real time. So that the guy next time goes out there will have the correct address without having to worry about duplication and all that. So it's going to save some time, I think. I think it'll save some time on continuing to work with the electronic signature part of it. I don't know how that's going to work yet. Like I said, we're getting ready to do the testing phase. And if that happens, then we don't have to print our reports unless we need them. That's going to save paper, it's going to save ink, and it's going to save folders. So that may be able to help in keeping our storage room from getting too cluttered with reports. So that's where I am at with that one. And that's just about it.
Good. One thing I noticed, and Matt, you might be able to fix this. It looks like snow fell on our gutter. Pulled a pop rivet out.
I've got a call in to the rental contract to get the roof. They're coming hopefully tomorrow or the next day.
Okay. I'm wondering if we should look at those. That I forget what you call it, but
the snow guards.
Yeah. Because it's in that section. It's missing.
Right. That area needs it. The back area needs it. All they did is put it above the doors. Since that falls off onto the sidewalk out here, we need more. So I'm going to get a price from them.
All that snow got on there.
I agree with you. Okay.
So it pulled the
doors off. Okay.
Hold on.
Sorry.
What? You want to make the correction for the amount?
Yeah. I was trying to pull that stuff back up.
I'm sorry.
$118,744.40.
Yeah, we forgot the
interest.
The interest. So.
Okay, so it wasn't crazy.
If you've already got the number.
Yeah. It's the actual amount for the skid loader would be $118,744.40. Excuse me. The end loader. Do we have to re-vote, Mark? It's a new dollar amount.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. Go ahead and just vote to revise the dollar amount. That's how you do it.
I move to revise the dollar amount for the end loader to $118,744.40. So, not to exceed
$118,750. Well done.
Someone has to second it, or else we can't vote.
I'll second.
Ping?
Yes.
Morris?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
Trulock?
Yes.
Okay, pay bills.
Sure.
Okay. Sure did.
Motion to pay bills. As presented.
Need a little humor in our life.
King.
Yes.
Morris.
Yes.
Stuber.
Yes.
Perry.
Yes.
Trulock.
Yes.
There is one sewer credit.
Yes.
Some more.
motion to approve sewer credit for 304 West Walnut, the amount of $135.65.
I'll second.
Ping?
Yes.
Morris?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
Truelock?
Yes.
Minutes. Yep, approval of minutes.
Motion to approve the minutes from January 15th, 2019.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I don't think we have any executive session minutes. On to old business.
I think you just kind of continue in us looking at it and eventually get back to you.
Okay, we'll put that on for next meeting. Discussion approval of Rave alert system.
This is just going off, we talked about last meeting and wasn't on the agenda, right? To purchase?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know.
Vicki was supposed to be checking with the church.
That's right. Continue.
I think so, yeah.
I did notice on the news Watsika just signed with Mass Alert Company, and I gave that to Brian so he can kind of check in. That's another. Not saying it's better, but it's one call now. Is that what I told you?
Yeah.
Yeah, one call now. That's what they went with. I called them this afternoon. Okay, so we'll put that on hold. Discussion approval of discontinuing locating service. Did that get discussed at all last meeting?
No.
I don't believe so.
Matt, if we were to stop this, what do you still need for someone on our staff to do it? What are we missing?
Locating equipment. And that's your question. $8,500 for that, plus the training time to send somebody to the class to do that. I was trying to, I had said to Rob, you know, I'd like to get another full-time employee because this, when we get into the thick of construction season, you know, you can
all day, every day.
Four, five, six locates. You know, this time of year, you might have, you know, 20 for the month, which, you know, that's not a big deal. But when we hit construction season, you've got, you know, fences and trees, you know, people that are doing jewelries for stuff like that. So it takes some time. I mean, it's not like you can just drive by and say, yep, it's good. And you actually have to go mark your utilities where they're at. So my thought would be if I could get another full-time employee to work on doing this and get them trained where they are proficient with it.
Did you have the full numbers on what we spent last year on locating?
I did not. I know there was a lot of months we were anywhere from $1,100 to $2,000.
Okay. So we table this one till next month, and then they'll let Rob talk about, look at another employee and get more numbers and stuff.
It's kind of hard to gauge because I was kind of going by, I was just kind of looking back at previous years, previous 1 year, to kind of figure out how many Julie calls we had to kind of go by to put in for a budget this last year.
And we have been using the service for one full year.
I think so.
It'll be either close or just coming up.
Yeah. Okay. And we started it before the summer season. because the important part is to capture our busiest
right.
time.
Yes, yes, it was before construction season.
Okay.
Yes.
Any other questions? Okay, hiring a full-time police officer.
No, we did start discussing that last meeting, and I can't remember what we had discussed as far as waiting till this meeting versus the last meeting.
It was just not last meeting, meeting before, because it was executive session stuff, but from us, you're waiting on a decision if somebody's going to move or not, and we have that now, so.
Okay.
We're going to have to start looking for both full and part-time employees for the police department. It's a little harder to get that than it is, it's harder to get a police officer and a maintenance worker, especially experienced.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to Chief the other day, and I think we need to go ahead and put out ads, not only on News Gazette, but we're going to put the national boards, places like the Blue Line, our police update, job update boards, and see what we can get, and specifying that we're looking for experienced and non-experienced for full-time employees and experienced part-timers, and just see what we can get and establish our list based off those and interviews. I don't think paying for a test, a written test, is going to be in our best interest fiscally. I can't remember exactly how much it cost last time for our five people we got off of it.
We got most of them passed the test. It was just a matter of who we wanted to pick from that list to start with.
But the bigger applicant pool,
yes,
the more that test is going to be.
I agree.
When we can do something as easy as an interview and a physical agility, and it's only going to cost us the man hours for somebody to do that and sit on interviews.
What is our starting rate right now for an officer?
We should just look that up. I have to get back the contract. It's something like $18 an hour for a full-time employee, and still $16.50 part-time. Which will go up a little bit next year.
Okay, so we're right there. I noticed when I was on WOTC, because theirs was like right over 29,000 for starting off.
Yeah.
So that's.
And the only thing WOTC has is it's getting farther away from a urban area. Like, it's getting farther away from Champaign, mm-hmm. farther away from Bloomington.
Yeah, I don't know the size of town. They have nine full-time officers or something.
Yeah. The only thing we fight is we've got police departments, not just Champaign, Urbana, U of I, and County, four in this little area mm-hmm. that are just sucking people away from us. I'm having the same issue at my work. We're training them, we're losing them. So, yeah, if we can get some great experienced officers off that.
Find a way to keep them.
Yeah. The thing we need to keep pushing, and what we've added some benefits in the last contract talks, comp time, didn't really increase mm-hmm. health insurance.
Right.
I know that's something that costs us, but it's a benefit that we can push on as a way to keep them. You're going to go up there, but your benefits may not be as good. Your ability to get time off mm-hmm. can be a little more difficult. We're pretty good with that. So. So pretty much I think we should need give her the go-ahead to start working and getting that posted.
So we will need to replace somebody in it.
Part-timers, we're done. As full-timers, it's just Rick and Justin.
Okay.
We hired the full-time last summer who didn't work out. We never replaced him.
Okay,
so,
that's right.
So we should have that. That's in the budget right there.
Originally, what we had is we didn't have to. We had four full-timers and 10 part-timers when we first got everything going, and now we're down to two full-timers and three part-timers.
you know, it's partly on us because we never kept up.
You gotta remember, the part-timers, they don't have set hours per se.
Right.
They work when we need them, so it's not like they're getting paid. Well, right now, most of our part-timers are working all the time, so they're getting, mm-hmm. you know, paid more when you have more part-timers to fill in things.
Right.
That way you can watch the hours so that they don't go over the limits and things like this. And that's what's really occurring right now, is we can't, we've got one that's already hit that. And so if he didn't work, then we only have two, which means now we're going to be short coverage because I can't cover with no officers.
Right.
So it's kind of one of the simple things you just have to kind of watch.
And I know you're nowhere near your salary budget for this year. So, I mean, if Justin wants to work overtime.
Well, that's because we haven't had the third
on. And exactly. But so if Justin wants to work some overtime and fill in some of those hours,
no,
use them.
He's always up. Yeah, we put it up there. He knows what those days are. But, sometimes he'll grab one or two or something. Like that. So. And when we don't have the coverage, then of course county will come in and handle whatever we can't cover. But I kind of like to try to do it ourselves.
And we get billed for those hours? Yes? No?
Nope.
Okay.
It's an interagency agreement that I signed with them a long time ago. That most of our smaller agencies do the same thing.
Okay.
Because even in the smaller ones, they may have one or two guys, and that's it.
Right.
They can't cover 24/7, so county comes in and covers whatever calls they get there.
It's just something that we continue to rely on, then they may mm-hmm. want to relook at that and say, we're going to start,
right.
to answer your non-emergency calls for service, we're going to start charging them. So.
But then that's kind of hard, too, because on the other side of it is we pay county taxes for police service as well.
Right.
So they have an obligation, more or less, to take calls if another officer is not working.
Okay, anything else? Do we need to look at nuisance? Looked like when I looked at it the other day, it was, sorry, Mark.
Back. You go to item 9D. That's the, more or less, it's really the annexation agreement ordinance that you got in front of you.
Okay. Sorry, I missed that.
Consider that. It should have emailed. I've got paper copies for anybody that's pretty comfortable.
I have it in my email.
It's probably easier to read than paper copy.
It is for me.
So, basically, this is somebody that's almost a mile and a half away from us that wants to break up.
Thank you.
They've got an 80-acre tract. They want to break off a couple of acres to have a family member put a house on it. Planning Commission and the mayor were supportive of us saying, well, you can do that, but we'd like you to sign this pre-annexation or annexation agreement. This just says that we would waive our subdivision ordinance as it relates to that breakout of that one parcel, but the whole 80-acre tract, if we ever became in contiguous to it within the next 20 years, would have to annex into the village. Statistical odds of that are pretty low, but the mayor's thought and the planning commission's thought is basically that this is a good policy to get into, and then we can consistently apply it as these approach us, and it'll make it easier when the ones really close to town do it. We can say, well, this is just our policy, this is how we'll do it. And in the unlikely event that something odd happened where we did go all the way out there, it would be helpful to have this and helps the village grow. Doesn't obligate us to provide them with any services. Even if they became contiguous, we'd have to provide police service, but if sewer wasn't close to them, we wouldn't have to extend it to them. The reason I keep saying 20 years is the statute says it's the longest we can make one of these. So if we became contiguous to them in 21 years, they wouldn't have to annex at that point. And this goes in front of you with the recommendation from Plan Commission that you approve it.
Motion to approve ordinance number 2019-03. Annexation agreement between Bernice Wilhelm.
A second.
Ping.
Yes.
Morris.
Yes.
Terry.
Yes.
Stuber.
Yes.
Truelock.
Yes.
Sorry, Mark, I skipped over that.
That's okay.
You can fire me.
I know we're kind of looking at our watches.
You're not getting out of that easy.
Yeah. On the nuisance part of it, I did talk to Justin Bruner earlier today. He's working on a few of these guys, and I had sent you kind of an updated memo a while back. I'll crank out another one at some point, but if there's some new issues or things that you guys want to bring up, go for it.
Everything's been snowed over, so.
Yeah. It looked fine until the thaw hit, right?
Now it's like a mud.
I can't remember. Some of the ones we've already told them to proceed on, how close is he to either reaching an agreement or taking it to court?
I don't remember well enough to give you an accurate answer. It won't cost you anything. We can send you a short update that just kind of.
Okay. Yeah, appreciate that. People are asking. Like, all I've been saying is, well, lawyer has.
He's been working on it. I do know that because I talked to him more than five times a week just on other stuff. I know he was working on ours today.
Sounds good.
You need more specifics, so we'll follow up with specifics.
Sounds good. Anything else?
I just got a message from Rob. The alert system, we're pushing off till the next budget year anyway, so
okay.
Mm-hmm.
We
have time.
Remove that for a little while. Just keep researching.
Do we need an executive session tonight?
No.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Third.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.